Great place to go before Sunday night's game is Mike's Beer Bar, right next to PNC Park. That's where you can find the fan beer of the month. It's Penn Brewing's Pumpkin Shandy, benefiting Young Adult Survivors United. All right, let's go behind enemy lines. We don't do this for every game, but we do for the big ones. Steelers and Jets. The play-by-play voice of the Jets is a guy named Bob Wischusen. Everyone sees on ESPN, does a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Their color analyst is outstanding. He has done college football games for ESPN for years. He's also the head coach of the St. Louis Battlehawks in the UFL, which means he is Bruce Gradkowski's boss because Bruce is the offensive coordinator there. And we, Chris, you missed this yesterday. We had Gradkowski gate.
Oh, I heard all about it, though.
Yes.
I heard things got very feisty.
Yes, where Bruce in Las Vegas went out to dinner with some Steelers fans and ordered the seafood tower and ordered a $250 steak and then tried to split the bill evenly at the end of dinner. And his boss and the Jets color analyst, Anthony Beck, joins us right now to talk some more about this matchup. Anthony, does that sound like something Bruce would do?
Hold on. I mean, you know, he's the last guy to pull the wallet out. I mean, that's commonplace. And if you ask him about me, he'll be like, oh, he still owes me money because I got him an extra bonus in his contract for the touchdown pass that he caught back in 2006 with the Jets or whatever year it was. And I'm like, with the Buccaneers. And I'm like, dude, you threw it to Joey Galloway. It bounced off his chest and I caught it. That's how I got it. So I was like, I don't know if I can necessarily give you a portion of that bonus. So I'll never live that down. I said, I got you dinner. You know, he's like, well, that's different. You got $250,000 for that touchdown. That's not dinner. I said, hey, it is what it is.
Devontae Adams, we thought he might be coming here. He's now a Jet, and it seems like that hamstring is healed overnight, and he's ready to play. Anthony, how much do you expect him to really be a part of this game plan in his first game with New York?
I mean, yeah, I'd say he's in. I mean, you know, he knows the system. I don't think the signals have changed much. Both of those guys know each other well, even though there's been some distance between the time they've played now from the last time they threw a ball to each other in Green Bay. But, you know, it looks like he's ready to rock and roll. And it's just something else now that, you know, defenses have to worry about. I'll be honest with you, you know, just watching the game and calling it last week, I really liked what Todd Downing did. I mean, outside of a couple penalties, they probably would have had 450 yards of offense, let alone 393. But, you know, they got to be a little better in the red zone, and the penalties were a big issue. So I think those things get better, but until they do it on a consistent basis, you know, that's kind of what they are right now. You know, they're getting close, but they're not quite clicking the way they want.
Anthony, how much of the red zone struggles are Rodgers, and otherwise, what is keeping them back when they get inside the 20?
Yeah, I think everybody has their share. You know, it's a holding call by one of the linemen. It's a drop pass by one of the receivers or tight ends. It's, you know, the back trips over a guy that's getting pushed back and he can't get to the hole. And then it's, you know, Rodgers here or there. I mean, everybody's kind of sprinkling in and kind of raising their hand, my bad, you know. So those are the worst words you want to hear, because when you're coming off the field and one eye player says, hey, that's my bad, I don't want to hear that. Like, they got to execute at a better level if they want to get where they want to get. Can they get there? Are they a good enough team? Do they have the guys to do it? Absolutely. But, man, if you don't execute at a better level, and it doesn't have to be an elite level. I mean, they got enough guys to make plays. They're going to be fine. But, you know, guys, every week that goes by and you don't get that win, you're falling behind more and more, and it's just hard right now with the parity in the league.
Anthony Beck, the color analyst of the Jets here on 93.7 The Fan. Anthony, given what the Jets have from a personality standpoint defensively, personnel as well, do you think if you asked them and said, you got to be honest, here's some truth serum, would you prefer to face Russell Wilson or Justin Fields on Sunday? How do you think they'd answer that?
100%, I would say Russell Wilson. I don't know, guys, this is just me looking in. I've watched the games. Now, you guys watch it a little more intently, I guess. But I just think, for me, Justin Fields brings a little bit more to the table with his legs. And I get it. Everybody wants, you know, the passes. And I talked to my guy Charlie Batch at length at this yesterday. And, I get it. Like, you're not getting these numbers and these lavish passing numbers, and you're not getting these plays made downfield. I see guys dropping balls sometimes too. I see them missing passes, but man, I see a 3rd and 12 that Russell Wilson's going to be dead for not getting sacked. He's going to come out of there and get you a first down. So, you know, there is a dangerous element to his game. And, you know, I think it took a lot of people time to to really, you know, embrace Lamar Jackson's style early on. And then he started to really develop as a passer over the years, and now he's one of the best players in the league. And if you just look at two, I just did a random thing, a project last night. I'm like, man, I want to check out Michael Vick's first 4 years versus Justin Fields' 4 years. And Justin Fields has got, you know, better numbers across the board than Vick does. Now, are we comparing them? I think they're equally as good as talented runners. I mean, the second best rushing performance by a quarterback is Justin Fields after Michael Vick. So, you know, what's the gauge visually for you guys, what you want? I mean, play great defense, run the ball effectively, and connect on short third, short second down conversions. Now, do you get the splash plays? Do you have to have those splash plays every week? Yeah, I think you do have to get a couple of those, you know, twice a game. You may not get that as a consistent basis, but, man, I feel like he makes up for that. So I don't know what Russell Wilson's going to look like. I mean, it's been a variety. Is he going to be the guy year one with Denver? Is he going to be the guy last year? But I do know something that he can't. He can't move as well. He can't do those things that Justin Fields can do. So you better be okay with him just kind of folding up and taking the sack and then punting versus – a guy that, you know, can maybe get you somewhere, and he hasn't turned the ball over much. So if I'm the coach, I want to see Russell Wilson, but, you know, again, I just, the guy's legs are so dangerous right now. He aggravates you with that, you know, even though he may not get the passing yards. And if you're playing against the Jets, they're man-to-man. So you know what that means, backs are turned. So yep. If backs are turned to the quarterback, there's a lot of space for him to move as well.
Hey, Anthony, I know that with Saleh getting let go and then just everything swirling around Rodgers, obviously that takes up the bulk of, like, the attention on the Jets from outside viewers, but how good is this defense? Like, what are the Steelers throwing Russell Wilson in against on Sunday night on that side of the ball?
Yeah, you know, I think, look, they're a top three defense. There's no question. Consistently, they haven't been a top defense to me in certain areas. You know, they're missing a bunch of tackles right now. You know, they're there, but they're not quite bringing the back or whoever that might be down. Now, that's got to get better, and I think it will. You know, Mosley's back. He's in the fold. But Sherwood is the guy that stepped in. He's incredibly quick, fast, aggressive. They like what he does, and there's a lot of speed at the linebacker position. Sometimes they just overrun stuff because they're so fast to it. Teams kind of get away with things. And, you know, you watch the Steelers. They do a lot of backside cut, back cut, cutback runs that are, you know, they're going to happen a lot in this game. You got to be a little bit more pause before you make those plays. I think right now you're probably looking to get a little bit more out of Kinlaw. Because Quinnen Williams is still a great player, and he can dominate a football game, and he does that on occasions. But it's nice to have that other stalemate piece next to him. And Kinlaw's kind of been up and down for me. The loss of Jermaine Johnson up front takes a little bit away, but Will McDonald's done a fantastic job.
Tomlin made him out to be players. The next Lawrence Taylor on Tuesday, Anthony. He was going on and on about Will McDonald. Love the guy.
Will McDonald's legit. He's a legit pass rusher. I said before the season and even last year, if the guy gets more snaps, he's going to be a 10-plus sack guy, and he's well on his way. He'll obliterate that this year. The problem is between him and Jermaine is Jermaine's a little bit more firmer in the run. So Will is a guy that he can play the run, but there's going to be times where, hey, the tackle's going to get his hands on him, and he's going to control him, and they're going to lose out on that opportunity. It's not going to happen a lot because he understands the technique he has to play, but you got to be on it. But a pass rush-wise, he's as good. Now, he's really good. I mean, he's only going to get better with more plays he plays. So, you know, that was something I saw because obviously my ties to Iowa State. I got to see him a lot more in college, yep. And he was always lined up inside. So, but again, this defense is good. And you got secondary. We'll see what Reed, if he plays in the game. If he doesn't, I think Echols does a really good job. They got a really good secondary. Chuck Clark losses obviously hurts them. He's kind of like the enforcer in the back end of the two safeties. And if he's not, obviously he's out. So, you know, Ashton Davis is a good player. He's just not quite a difference maker. He just adequately fills in. So he's just got to get better with reps because he hasn't played as much duties in the regular season.
Speaking really quick of those Iowa State connections, was October 12th a hard game at all to watch? Like, you had to, were you pulled at
yes,
all
Anthony's
in two directions?
Yes, Anthony's a West Virginia alum and his son is Iowa
right,
State's quarterback.
Exactly.
I'll be honest with you guys, like, I had my son's jersey on the whole day except when I went onto the field, and obviously out of respect of my legacy, but man, it was all about him. I mean, I know I got into the Hall of Fame. I'm just thankful that West Virginia allowed me to do it that day because it was the Kansas game back on the 21st of September. My daughter had Parents Week at Florida State. You know, he had a game. I was like, I got Jets. I can't make it. Everybody, 100 people were coming to see him play when Iowa State came to town. So it's like, if we could do it there, then 99% of those people can actually, that weren't even planning to see my Hall of Fame, would be able to see that too. So it was really cool, man. I mean, you know, obviously it was a perfect script. You know, I was able to be honored. It was great. The fan base was great. And then he was able to win the game, which was even better for me. So proud of what he's doing, man. It's been fun to watch Iowa State. They're a really good team. They're well-balanced. And, you know, hell, he's off to a good start this year.
And, hey, Neil Brown said it doesn't matter. As long as that weather's nice and the tailgates are good, it's all gravy there at West Virginia right now.
I had a great time tailgating that night, to be honest with you guys. So that was pretty good. That was a long day. I've never tailgated that long before, and I was there early. So, yeah, tailgating is good.
Hey, Anthony, thanks for coming on with us,
Anthony.
Man. We appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
There you go.
Appreciate
Anthony Becht, the color voice of the New York Jets there, breaking them down. 412-928-9370. Let's get to Emmanuel. He's in Carnegie. Hello, Emmanuel.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Man, I don't know what's up with all this Justin Fields hype thing. The fact of the matter is he has played good but not great. You look at his passing numbers. He's just a tad bit better than Kenny Pickett. Yes, he's got wheels. We understand that. But
well, wait a minute. Hold on. I don't think you do, though. I mean, that would be like saying, like Anthony Becht just brought up, look at Michael Vick's passing numbers. They look like Kenny Pickett's. You can't ignore the rushing part of it with Fields. You just can't.
But then again, with Wilson, it opens up the play action game.
What do you make of Becht saying if he had to give the Jets coaches and probably defensive players truth serum, they would rather see Wilson than Fields in this game?
Because I think they feel like there's a rust factor that plays into it. That's all.
And you don't?
But I feel like it perhaps does. But then again, we're not looking into the future. Everybody keeps talking about we need to look into the future. Like, we need to see what we're invested. Like, we've got to win a playoff game. We haven't won in 7 years.
You know, when was the last time Russ won one?
Oh, 6 years ago. But listen, y'all giving Justin Fields the benefit of the doubt because he was in a bad system in Chicago, and you don't want to do that with Denver when he had a bad coach.
No, I don't.
Sean Payton's a better offensive coach than the guys he has here, and I don't even like Sean Payton.
He is, but like I'll give Russell Wilson, I'll cut him some slack, especially his first year in Denver for the horrible situation he had there. But I'm just not. I'm not in a hurry to go see what he has to do. When Fields, I think, has played well to this point.
If he's 90% of what he was in Seattle, do you think he would be a better quarterback right now than Justin Fields?
Yes, I do.
And that's what we that are in the Russell Wilson's camp. That's what we think. We think he could be 90% of what he was.
Man, I don't know when the last time was that he was 90% of his Seattle self.
Palazzolo came on yesterday and I think said he has not been a good quarterback for 3.5 years.
The bottom line from like the crowd that nationally has clearly wanted Fields for this, even though they don't think Fields is great, is that Russ's numbers in Denver last year are one thing. Russ's actual game tape was something else. Like, period. And I've cited the numbers a bunch, but he checked the ball down a ton, and I think at least 5 or 6 of the touchdowns people were saying where he threw the ball up in the air to Cortland Sutton and said, go get it, and Cortland Sutton actually went and got it.
Here's Dave in Shadyside. Hello, Dave.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm not the only one screaming about this with my buddies, you know, in Pittsburgh. Everyone's losing their mind over this. My brother was screaming at me the other day saying, we're 4-2. Like, you know, what more do you want? I mean, I'm just like sick and tired of this. Like, oh, well, we got these wins. I mean, Kenny Pickett had wins. You know, we're going 9, like, if we're going 9-8 every single year, 10-7, whatever it is, losing the first round, I mean, we're all tired of that. And I'm not saying Russell Wilson is the key to this and he's going to, you know, take us to the Super Bowl. We might have two bad options, but when it comes down to it, does it really matter? Like, we're probably just going to go 9-8 at the end of this, and we're all screaming about it, and Justin Fields, we know he hasn't been great. Maybe Russ isn't that great, but, I mean, we're probably going to go 9-8. I totally get that we're 4-2. You know, it's a solid record, but if the ball
I think there's just a fundamental difference in how Steelers fans view Justin Fields. It sounds like you think that he can't get better. That we've
That's
seen
what
him.
What I'm saying, because you guys said it just a minute ago. I mean, the guy's been playing for 3 years. You know, he's gotten maybe a little better with the Bears. I'm hoping that he gets better. I mean, that's the only chance we have if we stay with Fields. Like, we're hoping that he just becomes someone really good. But if we're trying to go after a Super Bowl, I mean, I can see why Tomlin and them might want to roll the dice and just say, well, maybe Russ has a spark and he's back to older.
I think Russell Wilson at his current best, whatever his best looks like, is still probably like the 16th best quarterback in the NFL. Who's the last team to win with the 16th best quarterback? When Nick Foles got on a heater for the Eagles?
Yeah.
But he played like a top 5 quarterback
Is Russ going to do
that? For a month, he had an out-of-body experience.
That's what I mean. So,
I mean, lately it's been Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and Matthew Stafford. They're all in the Hall of Fame, and two of them are probably in the conversation. Well, Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, and Mahomes might actually knock him off that perch when it's all
said. And the guys they've been beating are guys, usually Purdy looks like a top 10 type of guy. Garoppolo's
wrong about Purdy. I'm on Purdy's bandwagon now. He's won me over.
I would say that I'm adding that to the list of things you've been wrong about, but I have to get a whole new sheet of paper. I ran out after a mile.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Low of just 49 degrees tonight. Terry Bradshaw, the latest to weigh in on what the Steelers are doing at quarterback. You'll hear him. We'll see if you agree or disagree. Mike Tomlin refusing to name a starting quarterback on Sunday. Who should it be? What's the point of what he's doing? 412-928-9370. Quick timeout, then a long commercial-free segment. It's the PM team.